Hello and welcome to a very special episode of Eurobash. We are recording this from the Glimmer Man in Stony Batter, and once again Niall has joined us on the north side and even made his way here by himself and sat in a pub for maybe up to, I'd say, an hour by himself.
An hour, yeah.
How has it been? How have you integrated to society here?
It's good, but there's a number of stolen car plates there.
There's a number of stolen, everything in here is stolen, I'd imagine, to be honest. It's a great place, my favourite pub.
It is, the pint of Guinness is very good, I have to say, as well. But how are you? What's going on? What's been going on? Christmas?
It's happening? Christmas up to my eyeballs here, but I've been working away, you know, gearing up for Christmas and those coveted 2 days in a row off, which I'm really looking forward to. Haven't seen one of those in a long, long time, so... Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's but we couldn't part ways with the bashers without doing a podcast summarising this crazy, crazy year, and a great year for Eurobash, of course, as well, Noel.
It has, yeah, no, definitely, you know, obviously big thanks to everyone who's tuned in throughout the year, and you know, it's been it's been a weird year for European MMA. I think there's been a lot of maybe lads sort of on the cusp of doing big things, and I think we're gonna kick on really into 2020. I think 2020 is gonna be a huge year for MMA in Europe, and you know, we've talked about it. We reckon we could up to 5 champions potentially from Europe. Crazy, crazy year ahead. But 2019's been a whopper, man.
Absolutely. Now, before we get on and we start looking back at what happened in 2019, let's take a look at these headlines. We're not going to have music today because you can hear we have a good bit of background noise and we don't want to filter that out. So Nicholas Dalby v Danny Roberts was announced today for UFC London. I guess you wouldn't see Dalby as a step up from Alex Oliveira, but I still think it's a fantastic fight for the London card, Dalby and Roberts.
Big time. We know both lads throw down. They like to go out and use their kickboxing skills, and we've seen Danny obviously in a number of wars, and we've seen Nicholas in a number of wars, obviously against Ross Houston earlier on this year, which
absolutely
is one of the fights of the year for me, and we'll probably mention that later on as well. It's just a stylistic matchup made in heaven for anyone who's a fan of European mixed martial arts, and it's a fight I'm very, very excited about, and hopefully it gets a good placement on the card. And I reckon it could be, you know, as far as co-main, even depending if we get Darren Till and Jack Hermanson, as you bravely and boldly predicted, Pete.
Yeah, and that looks like it still could be a possibility. I think the fact that Cannonier and Whittaker have been matched makes it even more of a possibility. But there's another big middleweight fight on that card with Darren Stewart and Marvin Vettori. I mean, that's as close to, you know, a top middleweight fight in Europe that you can get. Vettori is, you know, 2 wins since that loss to Stylebender. Darren Stewart, 2 wins as well. He got that win over Darren Wynn the last time. So he's getting a lot of momentum. Another fight that was announced is Paul Craig v Ryan Spann. So Paul Craig coming off the draw to Shogun Hua. So that's another big fight for him there. You remember the last time he was in London, got that last second submission win. Tom Breeze back in action there as well against Brendan Allen even on February 22nd in Norfolk. That's a big fight for Tom to come back in. I think, to be honest, it's a good idea to have him away from England, away from, you know, all the hype, all the talk and expectation, as he looks to make his way back to the octagon. And Nathaniel Wood v John Donson is also going down on February 15th in Rio Rancho. A bit like Arnold Allen and Josh Emmett in the fact that would have been a great fight for UFC London, but it ain't going to happen there.
I can understand it, though, man. It's like we talked about Darren Till before, you know, they threw Darren in when he didn't actually fight in the US before he took that Woodley fight in Texas. It's a good way to promote him, give him a bit of stock and US credibility. Totally understand it. I've had a little bit of time to think about it.
Yeah, so. and Dodson as well. Like, he did take on Jan in Prague. Like, that's pretty much enemy terrain. He went to there for that, so you can understand him not being too eager to go to London if that was an option there. Paul Redmond v Ryan Scope, as we announced last week. Bellator put out a press release saying it's a prelim, and then you know, have told people that the card is subject to change, but I think it's a bit of a joke at this stage. Like, this has happened to Redmond every single time he's fought. Like, I mean, the 3 times on it, this will be the 3rd time now for Bellator, and the 2 other times he was on the undercard, and it's just,
he was originally supposed to obviously co-headline in his last bout until he got injured. I think that was what he was told anyway from Bellator MMA and their brass. But, you know, throwing him back and having that fight as fucking prelim, sorry mate, he's one of the biggest draws in Dublin. I don't care what you say, he's one of the biggest draws in the Irish market. You have him and Ryan Scope, a high quality matchup like that on the prelim app for Bellator.
Yeah,
lads, you know, get the fuck out
it
of here.
It doesn't make sense.
Seriously.
As well, because Ryan was main event in his Bellator debut and co-main in his next fight. And now him and Paul Redmond are prelim guys. I don't know.
It's Bellator all over this year. It really is. Crazy.
I don't know if you saw this stuff from Scott over at Bloody Elbow, but shortly after this Redmond fight was, you know, determined, was said it would be a prelim on that press release, Scott from Bloody Elbow puts out a picture that shows Charlie Ward and Ken Coppinen as the co-main event of one of the cards, and we haven't even heard that fight's announced yet. Like, I mean,
crazy.
What's going on here, lads? Yeah, like, it's so confusing.
It's absolutely mental, and I think, you know, what are they doing with their European markets?
They need to start listening to the fan base. Like, I put out a tweet. I just stated that this press release says that this is a prelim,
yeah.
And the reaction was 100% in the favour of getting Redmond. Why isn't Redmond in this spot? Now, James Gallagher wrote back to that as well, and he was kind of saying, you know, these are two of the best guys in Europe, but anyone who I'm baffled that people don't understand. But I mean, I get it if James is talking about himself. I mean, he does so much to market
James
the cards. Yeah, he's a bit of an anomaly, like, because he can market the cards so easily. He does so much media. He's fantastic with the media. He's a great rapport, and he's obviously a big draw as well. But the only difference I've seen between Paul and the other people who have been announcing the main card, like setting James aside and stuff, is the fact they were at the press conference and Red wasn't. So, I mean, they're the only interviews I've seen these guys do.
Yeah, well, like, they haven't done an awful lot at those press conferences either. Like, they don't go out and talk, you know, a really good smack talk game either. Everyone knows Paul Redmond. He's been in the UFC. He's done the rounds.
He's one of the most established fighters in the country, like, whatever.
Yeah, exactly, 100%. That's the whole point. And it's disrespectful at this point that you're putting Paul on a prelim app when he's clearly, you know, one of the biggest fighters in this country, most well-known and respected, and one of the biggest fan bases in this country. I think with a lot of the other guys as well, I don't mean to interrupt you, yeah. Petey, but, you know, I mentioned this before a few weeks ago. They sell tickets. Some fighters are better at selling tickets than others from the clubs and things like that, and that's why a lot of Bellator events are getting sold out, and there's a lot of people attending the events because of that reason. Obviously, James is a big pull as well, but Paul's equally.
Yeah, but it's doing nothing to help them with this SBG bias stigma. Like, I mean, like, it doesn't make sense, like, to have him below some of the fights that are on that card. Well, that's no offence to you.
It very much looks like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we can go over it again and again, but I mean, it just doesn't really make sense. Yeah. But they need to start listening to the people, I'd say.
Definitely.
Even though they are selling this Dublin card out every year, it doesn't mean it's a guarantee every single time they come here. Just looking at 2019 as a whole, and I tried to come up with some quick talking points that we could kind of talk about, but two of the things that stick out in my head more than anything else, and we're kind of along for the journey with some of them anyway, would be the emergence of Masvidal and Adesanya as faces of the promotion this year. Like, I mean, of course we knew who these guys were before 2019,
yeah,
but they have really, really seared through the competition and really established themselves at the forefront of the UFC, in my opinion. What do you think?
Yeah, like, you know, I struggled to look outside those two guys this year.
That's fighter of the year, yeah.
Yeah, and it really would be, for me, Adesanya, because of the three fights that he's had, the manner in which he's won, the victories. I think if you're looking for, you know, more of a marketing sell, you'd look at Masvidal. Obviously, big name opponents he's beaten as well. We haven't been too high on Ben Askren as a potential opponent for a lot of the upper echelon guys in the UFC welterweight division. Incredible fashion the way he finished them, but Israel Adesanya, man, just the emergence has been incredible. So, you know, that's where I would just shade it for him. I think a lot of people are going with Masvidal, but I think that fight's probably, potentially could happen down the line a number of years if you know, if Masvidal wants to jump up a weight class, it'd be crazy. But for me, I would shade it for Adesanya. I don't know how you feel about it with Jorge, because we actually haven't even talked about this ourselves.
Well, I can actually tell you who I voted for if you give me 2 seconds. I actually don't know. I can't remember. Yeah.
But I would, because I think, you know, look, Robert Whittaker, like, do you know what I mean? You look at the fights he's had this year, the three big names, being 30 years of age.
Robert Whittaker?
No, I'm talking about Adesanya. You know, the manner of
Anderson Silva, Gastelum.
And Gastelum and him. So they're three massive names. They're the three guys that you'd sort of look at. You know, I think the Silva fight was sort of a coming out party and then emerging on to the next level and then ultimately that championship fight and taking the championship away. So
I've gone for Masvidal, and the reason why I've gone for Masvidal is there's not many fighters who have got the UFC to make a title for them. Like, I mean, the fact that he had UFC bending over a table for him and stuff, like, I mean, I feel like Adesanya will be there in a couple of years, but in terms of a guy coming in against Till that time, where we all thought this was set up for Till to win, comes in, starches him, and he's off to the races. And it just, like, he picks Askren, gets a fantastic rivalry going with Askren, and dispatches him in 5 seconds. And then, like, he basically just has all of this stock, and he can do what he wants with it. And I mean, from nothing to something, I feel like Masvidal has done even more because he was around all these years and he couldn't make an impact, but something just switched in his head this year. He says he went off on that reality TV show and he had a change of mindset. I think from the fact that he was around for so many years and maybe the casual fan had no interest in him, to this year being the biggest fucking star in the organization.
I'm not arguing.
Oh, no. It's either or either.
And I think I can totally understand from American point of view and from the push that he's got from the UFC. But Adesanya on a fighting terms, I don't think there's anyone else that really sort of...
And the Whittaker performance was perfect.
Yeah.
And I think the fight with Gaslam
was amazing.
Was fight of the year. Yeah, definitely.
So we're telling each other things here now, whereas we talk about later on.
They have different shit that they could both kind of be bigged up on. So I don't mind either of those selections. Yeah. But what I wanted to ask you is their success partly due to the absence of Conor McGregor in 2019? Do you really believe so?
But consider
where he came from. In 2018, Conor was at the lowest point he could be. All through this year, he's been hit by, in the press, he's taken a knock left, right, and centre for reasons outside of fighting that we can't really talk about. But look, he hit a guy in a bar. He broke a dude's phone. All the nastiness that came with Khabib. I mean, do you think if Conor fought this year, those lads would be pushed out of being the biggest stars of the year?
I think if he fought and he won, yeah.
Well, that's a different story.
You didn't ask me that. But yeah, now listen, the UFC are good at promoting and bringing along fighters that they want it, and often there isn't fighters, you know, that they could be pushing more, that they don't push more, and that's always been a problem with the promotion. They put weight behind certain fighters. They saw the whole incident when he boxed, you know, Leon Edwards. Leon had a big part to play in this as well, and he's been overlooked. And it's been very frustrating, I'm sure, for him, as you know, we've talked to him on the show here, you've talked to him. But yeah, they can do more with certain fighters if they want to, and they've taken that choice this year. They've seen, oh shit, look at Jorge, he's a badass motherfucker.
Yeah.
BMF, there you go, and they've done it.
Yeah,
it just annoys me, and I've said this for a long, long time. There's a lot of very marketable fighters in the UFC. They turn the promoters, the marketing team, they choose to turn their backs on at times and not get behind them as much as they should. And I think, you know, with Nate Diaz, obviously there's been a, you know, sort of ongoing issue for a couple of years, whatever, when he wasn't fighting, whatever. Anyone who fights Conor kicks on, and that was sort of the benchmark. So, you know, yeah, it's great to see another guy like Jorge Masvidal.
Did Henry Cejudo save the flyweight division? That's fair enough to say he absolutely did, isn't it, this year? I mean, I know he's rescinded the title now, he's given it up. But I mean, before that TJ Dillashaw fight happened, this fight, like, I mean, if TJ Dillashaw had beaten Cejudo and didn't pop for some shite, he'd be, I would have thought they would have dissolved that 125 division.
Yeah, but the thing about that for me, where I've a sort of sour taste in my mouth now, and they're, you know, Joe Benavidez is fighting for it now, and...
But they had to, like, I mean, he was holding up two divisions there, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I know, but before even that fight against Dillashaw, they had released a number of guys that were really, really good prospects.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're sort of going, now are they backtracking, what are they doing? Yeah, he probably has saved the division to a certain extent, but how meaningful is the division now going into 2020? I don't know.
I think it's really good. Yeah, I think your man Figueroa is brilliant.
Even though they've a number of guys who they've released that are fighting outside.
But they're bringing people back as well.
But hopefully they do that.
They can only correct the mistake if they made it, and they definitely made it. So, I mean, I think it's good that it's still a division, is the point I'm trying to make. Like, I mean, if they had it got rid of it, it would have been another big black mark in terms of the sport aspect of MMA, I think, you know?
Yeah, and listen, I love the fact that the division's still there. I've always been a big advocate of the flyweights. You have some absolute killers in there, and obviously killers outside the promotion who were released beforehand. And I think it is good, but I'm just interested to see where it goes. You know, I'm still not 100% sure Dana White's behind it. Like, when are you ever sure with that guy? And he's, you know, backtracks every day of the week and changes his mind like Buffer.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know what I mean, though. You get the gist.
From a European point of view, Bellator v. Cage Warriors is one of the big stories of the year. Not so much from us, but because people involved, like John Kavanagh and Graham Boylan, been sniping at each other. They had cards at the same weekend a lot of times. But I gotta say, whatever side you're on, you should be on. You should be neutral if you're a fan anyway, or a media member, because for me, this is creating one of the most thriving atmospheres in Europe that we've had for a long, long time.
Yeah, no, you know, I agree. I think it's great for European mixed martial arts. The guys are getting fights, they're getting paid well, especially with Bellator. And, you know, guys are going in there. Obviously, you saw Reese McKee. Reese got an offer from Bellator, turned it down, so he says. Went to Cage Warriors. He's doing the Cage Warriors thing.
The five people went from Cage Warriors to the UFC this year.
Yeah,
you know?
But that's what I mean. That's my point. Like, that is the proving ground. And I think, you know, when you have Bellator there, you know, consuming so many fighters from certain gyms and things like that, that you're obviously going to get fighters that are going to be on their cards and their cards in the regional areas. But it does. It feels regionalised. It feels like Bama Part 2, to be honest with you. And I think, you know, we did see, obviously, with Peter Queeley and his fight that was announced there.
Against Brent Primus.
You know, that is probably the benchmark in terms of them actually putting something out there in terms of, you know, you talk about the belts. It's a fight that actually means something, I think, in Bellator's ranks for a European fighter to kick on and potentially go on for a world title.
And, like we saw Kate Jackson do this weekend.
Exactly. Yeah. The much reported on.
Fair play to Garrett. We'll talk about it later on, but Garrett actually pushed it out well. Up until fight week, there was not a whisper about it. We found out about it last week when we went to the cards.
Yeah. So
that's something they can definitely improve on. Like, I mean, if you could take one asset from Cage Warriors and give it to Bellator, it would be Cage Warriors' promotional arm. And that's only one dude. That's Matt Jones. Like, he does it all. Like, and he's unbelievable at it. And of course, if you could take one thing from Bellator and give it to Cage Warriors, it would be the purse for the fighters, you know?
Of course, yeah. But like, that evens itself out in certain regards and in certain areas. But yeah, I just think Cage Warriors in general, and I'm not blowing smoke up their ass, they do a better job all round
of making
what
they're
doing. If you're invested in something, you're going to give a shit about it.
Yeah.
Cage Warriors have that ability to do that.
Yeah.
Bellator have not succeeded in doing that, not by a long shot.
Well, they have in Ireland. You can't deny that. They've sold out the fucking card every time it's come here. That's huge.
But yeah, a lot of, you know, we've talked about this. A lot of those tickets that are sold are from individual fighters. Like, they can go on about
I know, but they're selling out the Tree Arena. That's really good.
They are, yeah. They have, obviously, you know, fighters that we all know here in Ireland, and they're putting them on the cards. A lot of them from the same dream. They're bringing 200-300 people in. And, you know, you've James there as well to top it all off. I just like to see more meaningful fights, as you said, and better matchmaking as well. And I think it's improved, obviously.
Yeah.
But I'd still like to see better matchmaking and better sort of maybe sort of fairness in what they're doing in terms of putting the fighters as Paul Redmond's. You know, that there's a no-brainer. That should be co-main event. It's not even near a prelim.
All right. Okay. Cool. Well, look, we'll put a hole in this point, and then we'll be back to discuss what happened last weekend. A few big fights for Europeans last weekend. Some in Busan, some in Honolulu. So we'll have a look at them, and we will be back to you shortly after these advertisements. Well, now before we get in to the action that unfolded in South Korea and Hawaii last weekend, I thought I'd hit you with some quick fire questions on Christmas.
Do it.
It's just pick one and we move on. I don't want anything.
You don't
want
to run?
No. No, just say the first thing. We can discuss afterwards.
Fuck the north side.
All right. Fuck the south side. Ready? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Quality Street or Roses?
Roses.
Turkey or ham?
Turkey.
Selection Box or ham and turkey sandwiches?
Selection Box.
Stephen's Day gaff party or Stephen's Day on the toils?
On the toils.
Michael Bublé or Bing Crosby?
Bing Crosby.
Christmas pudding or trifle? Quickly.
Trifle.
Stephen's Day or Boxing Day?
Stephen's Day? The fuck?
Christmas jumper or Stephen's Day tracksuit?
Stephen's Day tracksuit.
Good man. Mass or Unholy Christmas?
Fuck Mass.
Yeah. Presents or Gargle?
Gargle.
Fairy Tale New York or Last Christmas
Fairy
with
Wham? Tale New York, fuck off.
Mashed potatoes or roast potatoes?
Mashed.
That's all I've got for you.
I did well there.
That was very good. I agree with every single thing you said, to be honest. Apart from Stephen's Day gaff party, I go for.
You can't go for Quality Street. Jesus Christ, you'd be mental if you went for that.
I like a couple of the Quality Streets.
Oh, no.
Just, do you know them toffee coins?
No, the strawberry one. That's it. Fuck the rest.
I don't like any of the gooey ones, man. I just leave them for Elaine. Fuck that noise. Horrible.
That was random. I didn't expect that at all. Fucking
I know.
Hell.
See the lengths I go to keep these people entertained. But very well answered, I have to say. I'm trying to figure out anything I'd answer different. What did you say, turkey or ham?
Turkey, I think.
I'm a ham man myself. I eat both, so I mean,
I love turkey, though. I do.
And did you pick ham and turkey sandwiches over selection boxes?
No, selection box.
Oh, no, I'll be ham.
Need something sweet in the
ham
next
and turkey
day.
Sandwich. Bit of stuffing. Bit of tiny little bit of gravy.
About re-cooked food and shit. Cause probably because I got food poisoning a few times.
Yeah, nasty, you probably have a butler poison. That comes over to cook your dinner, do you?
Oh, yeah, me ma does everything for me. She wipes me up her arse and dresses me. She dresses me. Look at me. I actually look well this evening. She dressed me. Look at
No, I'll stand in the kitchen in the nip. What am I going to do?
Put my socks in, ma.
Oh, my God. Well, let's have a look at what happened in Busan. Obviously, a huge co-main event there by European standards. Huge main event performance from Chan Sung Jung against Frankie Edgar. You know, one of my friends, Alan Barry, said this to me after the fight of Royal Grappling Academy fame. He was like, a fight like that really makes you think about Korean Zombie when he fought Aldo that time and his shoulder went, and like what that fight could have been if he had been fully fit, you know what I mean? Like, he's exceptional, isn't he?
He's exceptional. He's a guy that, you know, could have kicked on to, you know, probably dominate.
Fucking South Korean and military.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, the 2 years out, you know, doing his, you know, military service, he could have really kicked on and got that world title, and it's just a shame that that happened at that time. But look at him now, man. You know, Frankie, you know, it's a different sort of kettle of fish for me. It's been a bit of a rapid decline the last couple of years for Frankie, and it's sort of a bit sad to see him go out there and get handled like that. And but yeah, listen, Korean Zombie, man, like, the guy is on the up, and I'm super excited to see what happens with him in next year. Really, I'm happy.
It's actually like, I mean, I know we Holloway's always going to be a fixture at featherweight. We're always going to talk about him. But if you separate Holloway from that equation there, Volkanovski and Zabit, Volkanovski and Chan Sung Jung.
It's mental.
Volkanovski and Brian Ortega. Like, I mean, there's a lot of good fights there, isn't there?
Man, every division is getting stronger by the year. I think even lightweight may have regressed a little bit this year because it's always been my favourite division, the best division. But if you look at welterweight, you look at bantamweight, you look at featherweight, unbelievable.
Yeah, it's quality.
At the top of the division. It's crazy. It's insane. And we, like, I forgot even to add Zabit to what the list of lads we were talking about last week.
Oh, I didn't mention him last weekend.
That's crazy.
I know.
It's crazy.
I fancy him against Volkanovski more than I did against Holloway.
Yeah, I think he'd be more
just so weird.
And
he's so weird.
He's so awkward to fight as well.
It's just very hard to prepare for Zabit, I feel. Even though Calvin Kattar did a great job against him.
He did. Calvin Kattar is another stud in the division. And there's so many guys that are, you know, they're gamey, they're willing to compete. And they're absolutely just dangerous. And I think, you know, there's so many variations that can happen in 2020.
It's just amazing that Conor really only left the division in 2016. And I felt at that time that him in that division made it the golden era of that division. But looking at the talent they have there now and looking at that kind of resurgence story they could possibly have with Holloway, maybe this is the golden era. You know what I mean? Who knows?
But well, maybe it is.
What did you think of Ozdemir and Rakic? Anyone that says a robbery either way there is an idiot.
Not at all.
It's a really close fight. I personally had it for Ozdemir 29-28. I can see why people... I think the second round might have been this way. I'm not too sure. But Rakic is a fantastic fighter. I thought they put on a great fight. But Ozdemir's damage to the lead leg, he kept delivering, paid off huge dividends. Because I felt Rakic was all over him in round one. And then Ozdemir came into the ascendancy then.
If you look at how Rakic maybe regressed in terms of what he was throwing on his feet, the further the fight went, you got the feeling that he actually ran out of things and combinations where he was going to go. Where am I going to hurt Ozdemir? What am I going to do?
And look, he probably lost a great deal of power off that lead leg. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
I don't know how anyone's moaning about that, to be honest. Was there much people moaning about it?
Look, I've said it before. We have the whingiest fan base in the world. They find something every weekend to cry about.
We do. We do.
Yeah, I just...
Was there a lot of online traction, people moaning?
Yeah. I saw loads of people saying it was horrible.
I really don't know what you can see in that fight where you can call it for Rakic. I was actually a little bit disappointed with Rakic. I said to you earlier on, I thought, you know, the leg kicks obviously threw him off, and it was like Ozdemir was sort of, you know, he turned into a Francisco Trinaldo, as we always say in this show, where he neutralized.
I think he did a lot more than neutralized. Like, I felt like he was doing great work, like really great work. All off that lead leg, though, especially because he was taking punishment in the first round, but he kept going to that leg knowing it would pay dividends later on, and it turned out that that's what happened. But I will say, very surprised to see Doo Hoo Choi in a 3-fight skid now.
Yeah,
He took a long time off after that Stevens
loss.
How
hurt is your heart?
I mean, I love watching him fight,
yeah,
and I still love watching him fight. Charles Jourdain, I thought he committed the cardinal sin of asking for a bonus afterwards.
Yeah.
I was like, oh no, he's not going to get it. He got it. Fair play to him. He deserved it. Dude, Choi's an animal. But from a European point of view, we had Cyril Gane there. A real fucking, a great striking performance he put on in that fight, but still no knockout finish for Cyril Gane in the UFC.
I was just about to say to you, I think the fact he hasn't finished him, people are going to have the question marks. Can he talk about the wingers and things like that? People are going to want to see a knockout.
In fairness, I haven't seen people whinge about it because he did look so good.
He looks, but it's coming. Yeah, it's coming. Of course it's coming. Yeah, I think it's good for him, though. I think, you know, the build, you know, he's had five fights. Is that his fifth fight, I think it was?
Six on Saturday night. Yeah.
So you're looking at a guy like that, and he's progressing. And the level he's at the moment in his mixed martial arts career, in a young mixed martial arts career, he's only going to get better. He's going to add more assets and facets to his game. And we're going to see a real killer in 2020. Another one who's going to compete for, or be up there, thereabouts, especially in the heavyweight division as well, where it's... It's, you know, it's not fucking, you know, stacked at the top.
Yeah, you can make big moves. Yeah, and just the thing that's weirdest for me about watching Cyril fight is the fact that we have identical bodies. And, like, when I'm watching him, I'm like, shit, is that me in there? I keep going, oh, sorry. So I spend so much time looking in the mirror.
You're like a flyweight.
And, like, you know, a ripped 6 foot
ripped
five.
Flyweight. But, I am a super heavyweight, though.
I just thought I'd bring that up because sometimes I get distracted. But Saeed Nurmagomedov lost the unanimous decision. I thought the judges did a great job there.
Yeah.
Rayoni Barsalas.
Disappointing.
Guilherme Cruz was covering this card with me, but Guilherme is like 3 hours behind us, so this started at 7 a.m. I was dying. So I was doing that. My computer shut off for the first 20 minutes of this because my hard drive was plugged in. And then when I plugged my hard drive out, it worked again. No idea what the fuck happened there.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, I missed the first 20 minutes, but then when Guilherme woke up, he was kind of like, tell me what happened with Barsalas. I thought he'd beat Nurmagomedov, and he fucking did. That guy's a real talent, Barsalas.
But I think if you look, like, to be honest with you, again, another fight, like, I don't, you can argue with the decision.
No, not
at all. Nurmagomedov, you know, he was nearly choked out a couple of occasions. Grinded gritty.
That's why I was surprised. Stop saying grinding and gritty.
But it was.
Yeah, it was. But Barsalas was... I was surprised by how much he dominated him on the ground. You know, in the third round, especially once he got on top of him, he was fucking all over him.
Yeah, so, like, again, I think, you know, I've been disappointed with those guys this year, a lot of Khabib's teammates and things like that. We talk about Islam Makhachev quite a lot. We talk about Saeed Nurmagomedov.
Guys, at least
really
Islam's winning.
Yeah, he's winning, but he's just winning. Like,
he's
not really making a statement.
Apart from that one against Davi Ramos in Abu Dhabi, I know it wasn't great, but up on that final round, he fucking flatlined
him. Yeah, he did. But I'd like to see a little bit more from him.
Yeah, absolutely agree with you. Just interesting, Alexandre Pantoja there, we'll know him from that from the fight with Neil Siri. I think he stopped Neil in the third round of his last fight ever, was it?
Third, I think it was. Yeah.
Like, I mean, Matt Schnell's one of the best prospects in that division, and he finished him the first round. Neil Siri, you're a god.
We talked about this years ago.
Yeah.
That how good Pantoja was. And people were going, oh, is he? No, Pantoja is the fucking real deal, man.
Very hard to look good in a fight against Neil Siri. Look at Horiguchi. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's unbelievable. Let's jump over to Bellator 236. We did have that one French fighter who lost on Bellator 235, who we didn't know his name until last week, so I figured that we'd talk about Kate Jackson a bit here. Elimelech McFarlane is an unbelievable fighter, and I mean, to see what she did against Kate Jackson there was unbelievable to me, because Kate's a savage. She is a fucking savage. I know she's not the most vocal fighter in the world, but she can fight. Like,
big time, man. Big time. McFarlane, I think, showed on was it Saturday night that she has an unbelievable repertoire of skills all around. Her striking, even in that fight, you know, on point.
She mixed it well.
When she got inside, she landed. Kate threw an awful lot, didn't land an awful lot. Her ground game is obviously exceptional. It was just total dominance. You look at the interview after the fight; she didn't have a scratch in her face.
She just does it right. You see her entrance and everything.
Brilliant.
I mean, she's completely plugged into the fucking electricity in Hawaii, because everyone's just reverberating to her.
Kate Jackson, like, you know,
Kate Jackson deserved a better promotion from Bellator.
From Bellator, of course. She fought all the way.
When I'm talking about building a narrative, when she was fighting in London last, it only came up after the fact that she could be potentially fighting for a title next. Whereas they should have been saying that the whole time to us in the lead up to this fight, so we don't understand.
Big time. And I think, you know, props to her, kudos to her, whatever you want to say. And you know, she hung in there, but it was she was chasing the fight right from the get-go. You could see she was knackered, tired in the corner, but still stuck in there. Brilliant submission defense. I think a number of times there was triangles thrown on her, arm bars, everything, and she fought out of them. But McFarlane was just a different level. Yeah, Bellator needs to sort this shit out. They do with the promotion of the fighters, and they have to. It's getting very disappointing because that's a British fighter there that you could be putting
it's the biggest spot anyone's been put in since the European Series started, and we only found out about it on the week of the fight. It's not good enough.
It's not good enough at all.
AJ McKee, you pointed to him as your number one pick for that featherweight tournament. Happy enough to stick with that after that, I assume.
Unreal. superb striking, excellent on the ground as always. Overcame it, the first 20 seconds thing of the round, a bit of adversity. Really, really good stuff from AJ. The guy, I think, is he's that total package. Cool, calm, calculated, destructive, talks a good game and backs it up 90% of the time. Very, very interested to see where he goes, and I think he could ultimately win this tournament quite easily.
Fair to say Brian Moore's given him the best go so far?
Yeah, 100%. Indeed, no doubt.
Mad, isn't it? Yeah. Did you see that? That's the reason why I bring up AJ, because he's been kind of synonymous with fighters in Ireland, their kind of rivalries and stuff like that, and obviously he fought Brian short notice, and Brian gave him a hard time that night, but in fairness AJ did accept the short notice as well.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking about Brian. Did you see the picture he put up during the week of him with the two broken arms? Yeah. He's a fucking savage, isn't he?
He's an animal. Brian will never.
Like, he's the nicest person in the world. And then you see a picture of him like that, you're like, this fella's a fucking animal.
He would
man.
Fuck me up, but he'd buy you a pint. That one of those guys. But listen, Brian is an animal.
He'd dry your tears after he bet the shit out of you.
Well, that's it, yeah. Like, the Noah Laha fight. Then you see him rolling around with his kids and his Instagram.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, ah.
He's deadly, man.
Great guy, great fighter. And I really hope,
Brian's hands hold up for 2020, I hope.
Hands hold up. He gets a good run of things. I don't know, Lahal fight. Yeah. Very unfortunate, man. Really unfortunate in that fight.
If he had won that fight, he'd probably be in that tournament. Yeah. There's a chance.
There you go. It really does come down to that. And I'm looking forward to seeing Brian back in there.
He's actually a bantamweight. I'm a fucking agent, sorry. But, that's pretty much all we have to say about last weekend. But we'll be back to talk fighter of the year, knockout of the year, submission of the year, and fight of the year. Did I say that already? Knockout of the year. One of them. Of the years, anyway, all around. And we'll have a look at some of the fights that are going down this weekend in case you are too bored and sick of the points and you just want to just stick on a bit of a fight and enjoy yourself. Back in a minute. Let's take a look at what's happening over the Christmas for you MMA freaks out there. On the 27th, we have Brave CF23. There's lots of Europeans in action there. It's Aleskarov versus Gonzalez in the main event. Russia versus Sweden. A lot of European action throughout the card. Dan Vinny from the UK fighting. Rami Hamed against Isakov from Belgium. Also, Keane Cowley beat Sam Patterson, looking to get back in the win column. Of course, Keane is working with Conor McGregor now ahead of his comeback fight against Donald Cerrone. He just did an interview there with Sean Sheehan on severemma.com if you want to check that out ahead of the event. It's just gone up today, so have a look at that if you're interested in that card. We also have Bellator 237, which is Fedor versus Rampage. That's going down on the 28th of December. And I know you hate the El Dinosaur fights, Niall, but is that one not doing you any kind of favours there at all, Fedor and Quinton?
Zero.
Great Nothing. Addition to the conversation there.
No, but like, come on, like, put your young guys at the top of cards instead of these guys and have a co-main event with that. It's just getting to a point where it's...
I think that's silly, though, because, like, Fedor and Jackson is going to get more attention than any fight they're putting on that card, including Michael Chandler v. Sydney Outlaw. Larkin v. Nakamura, any of those fights, even Michael Page.
Yeah, what do you think? Zoe. Because they've failed to do that over the years, is build younger fighters. That's been the problem.
I don't think they have failed to build younger fighters.
They're putting on, Ken Shamrock and stuff like that, headlining.
I know.
Come on.
But that's not the same. I don't see Fedor v. Jackson as the same as Ken Shamrock v. fucking Dada 5000 or whatever the fuck he fought that time. That was Hoist Gracie, was it? Ken Shamrock and Hoist Gracie?
Yeah, it's not far off with them.
I don't know, I'm interested. I mean, I think it's probably going to be the last fight, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, there you go. I don't know, I think they could have done a better fight.
I think it feels big, like, because it's in Tokyo, Japan.
Put MVP headline. Why not?
Because he's on the undercard, and Fedor and Quinton Jackson are way bigger names in Japan.
Rampage is a big name in Japan, obviously.
And Fedor from the Pride days?
Yeah, I know he is, yeah. Listen, I'm just sick of seeing this.
You just shouldn't be promoting cards in Japan, that's all I'm saying to you.
I'm telling you, I shouldn't. Definitely shouldn't. But I just can't stand this constant fecking just dinosaur element to main events, but there's so many good young fighters on the cards that really aren't getting the profile on them they should be getting. So that's my main gripe. But anyway, it's not going to change, is it?
Noel McGrath, looking forward to Bellator 237. Ryzen 20, great card. I'm going to be covering that one on New Year's Eve, very, very early in the morning. A lot of big fights. Patrigi Pitbull v. Luis Gustavo. Luis Gustavo is the premier 55er in Ryzen against Patrigi Pitbull, who, if his brother wasn't already holding the title, would be probably fighting for it. Tofik Musayev, who's very good against Johnny Case. That's a great fight. And as we go down through the cards, we have King Reyna on the fold there. Vitaly Shemetov. Jake Hyun, who's been very good. I know he's a Yank, but he's been doing very well. He's fighting Satoshi Ishii. And, of course, Jiří Procházka, putting his 205 title for Ryzen on the line against CB Dolloway. That's a great fight for Jiří Procházka to get. A Eurobash legend in his own right.
Indeed. But CB Dolloway, you'll have to think that he's given up his rights ever to fight in the US again after sort of going against USADA proceedings. So that's going to be very, very
interesting. What did he go? What do you mean when you say go against?
2-year ban.
Oh, right.
So
just pissed hot, basically.
Yeah, just pissed off. I don't think he's ever going to fight in the US or stateside again after this one.
Yeah, well, I mean, if Ryzen are paying them, you know, they welcome that kind of stuff.
Of course.
Koy Asakura v. Manuel Cap. A man who has a Portuguese flag beside his name, but I believe he's from Angola. I wanted to see Gallagher v. Cape on this fight, but Koy Asakura is absolutely sensational. I've got most of my knowledge about the Asakura twins, brothers, whatever they are, from Furiously High on Twitter. These are hugely famous in Japan. They're, like, kind of like the Morgan Charrier thing, where they're like YouTube stars as well as fighters. But, you know, we saw Asakura knock out Horiguchi in his last fight. The chap's the fucking real deal. And I'm really looking forward to that fight with Cape, because Cape is a lad who likes to go out and throw from the hip.
You've talked about Cape an awful lot over the years.
Gallagher is the fight to make in Japan, because Cape is just going to throw bombs. There's nothing else he does.
Do you think they'll generally put James in Japan?
Not as long as they need him to sell out Dublin. That's the problem. And I think James is very fond of, you know, obviously loves the Irish fans, loves fighting at home, but I do think there's an element to it where he's like, at some stage, it's going to be more money for me to go across, and a fight in Japan like that, I think, would be worth a lot of money to him.
It has to be, yeah. You know, you mentioned Cape, and you've mentioned, you know, we've talked about Sergio Pettis. You mentioned Sergio Pettis. I think it has to be a point where James is going to headline stateside before even potentially Japan, and I think that's when you're going to see a massive sort of brand evolution, and Bellator really sort of get behind one of the younger guys instead of the dinosaurs. And I think it's great, and hopefully it happens in 2020.
I think it will. Well, unless they want to keep him in Dublin, which you can understand they will want it. Tenshin Nasukawa even is fighting as well, and he's fighting Rui Ibata. But I mean, I am looking forward to that guy fighting. Also involved there, Patrick Mix.
Quality fighter.
Who will
man.
Be fighting Montoya of Japan. That's a really good fight too. Like, a huge test of experience there for Mix. He's 12-0. This guy has had 30 fights, 23-7. That's a tough fight for him.
In fairness to Mix, he's delivered though, and we've seen him so far.
He's fucking brilliant.
He's unbelievable, man. He's probably one of the best prospects in Bellator.
And whoever has changed his name to Patchy Mix, I love it on Tapology. Congratulations to you, whoever you are.
I think he's up on Rufus Court nowadays. I'm not even 100% sure, but don't quote me on that, but I think he is.
Patchy Mix, what a name.
Yeah, great name. Absolutely incredible name for incredible
that's
fighter.
Very Irish, isn't it? He's gone from Paddy, from Patrick, as we call him, Paddy, to Patchy.
Yeah.
I think that's nearly an Irish variation there.
We've found him. He's ours.
Before we talk about our Christmas adventures, let's get on to the of the years. There's four of them.
Can't wait.
Fighter, there's knockout, submission, and fight of the year.
We may have just sort of sneaked our fighters the year earlier on.
I might have just hinted at them.
We'll go over it again.
Right, well, where do you want to start? What's first up for you?
Yeah, I think fighter of the year, and I think
we've already talked about it.
So we regurgitated again quickly, but for me, it's got to be Israel Adesanya. I think the fights he's had, the fights he's won that world title, you know, I can clearly understand why you've picked Jorge Masvidal, because the marketing.
I'm not going to fall out with you over it, you know.
Yeah, it's one of those ones. I think it's one or the other. You know, Europe, you could go for Peter Yan, unbelievable year he's had. And, you know, you've talked about him endless amount of times. He's a great interview this week as well. You know, beating Dodson, Rivera, Faber. That's an incredible amount of three guys to put together in one year. To put yourself right in the title mix in 2020. You know, he's right there as well. You talk about other guys, you talk about, you know, European fighters. You look at
Saladin, you know, Parnas,
Herbert, who's been incredible.
Incredible, yeah.
You know, Reese McKee again, another great year for Reese. Two wins on the bounce. You know, moving up in the division as well. It's been incredible. But it got to be Israel Adesanya for me. What a progression, what a year.
Yeah, I think Masvidal and Adesanya are interchangeable. I have Masvidal, Adesanya, Cejudo, Nunes, and then Patricio Pitbull. That's my top five.
That's totally fair.
Because he won two titles this year, fought two great guys in Juan Archuleta and Michael Chandler.
I'd have zero problems with you know, any of those guys being on my list as well. You know,
let's talk fight of the year. We mentioned it again earlier. I don't think you can look beyond Kelvin Gastelum and Israel Adesanya. I'd go as far as saying
there as well. Look,
yeah, I'd go as far as saying that Israel Adesanya and Kelvin Gastelum is one of the best fights of the decade.
Yeah,
if not the best.
Yeah, for enthralling. When you're watching a fight, right? You know, when you're screaming
at the end of the fight, and like this.
This is like 5 in the morning, at 6 in the morning in Ireland, right? You're screaming. You're on the edge of your seat.
Yeah.
You've a beer beside you, whatever you're doing, and you're screaming at the TV. You're pointing at the TV. Man, they're the fights that really push over. There's other fights as well. I have to say, I mentioned that Houston Derby was an absolute cracker in case.
Have that in my top five
that
as well.
That was unbelievable.
Right, but I will say this. Houston and Dalby, right? It's not just the fight, it's the meaning of the fight. Knowing that one of these guys is going to go to the UFC. It's also the drama of it. The first fight ever in the history of cage warriors called off for having too much blood on the canvas. Yeah. Like, I mean, Ben Lachter and John McColgan had a fantastic fight, but it just doesn't have the same meaning as Houston and Dalby when you consider the proximity to the UFC. But if we're basing this just on nothing other than what happened in the cage, I'd say McColgan and Ben Lachter was right there. It's just when it takes on that extra meaning, it becomes something else, and that's why I put that in the list.
Yeah, well, of course, that's like me making my decision on Fighter of the Year. It's exactly the same thing.
You're just little bits of
it's
factors.
Little things of factors. Yeah. What's on the line? What's here? What's there?
Here's my second best fight of the year. It's Vicente Luque v. Brian Barberina.
Petey, this is too
You're
weird,
number
man.
Three.
This is too weird. Very weird.
Yeah, brilliant fight. So much lads dropping left, right, and centre. You swear there was 8 cunts in the fucking ring. There were so many lads hitting the deck.
Like, man, Luque is always one of those guys. He's always a good
scrap. But Barberina is an animal too, man. Like, I mean, that fella. Do you remember we bet Norco and everyone thought, because he wasn't in shape, they were like,
he doesn't get enough credit. He's a really, really good fighter. But that was right up there. And you have to go Romero Costa as well.
I don't have Romero Costa in my top five, but I'll tell you why I don't. It's a brilliant fight.
Unbelievable.
The reason why I don't is I want the 2 more rounds.
Yeah, no, I totally understand.
Because I didn't feel like, I didn't get the finality I wanted out of it. Yeah. Like, I remember at the end of 3 rounds going, fuck you, UFC. Like,
why wasn't this fight?
Yeah, yeah. But I will say, a fight that nobody thinks of, well, I'm sure people think of it, but because of where it's at, nobody ever talks about Max Holloway v. Dustin Poirier 2 because it came after Gastelum and Adesanya.
Yeah.
So when you've had that, if you go back and watch that fight by itself,
cracker.
It's unbelievable. It's not as good as Israel Adesanya and Kelvin Gastelum, but it's right up there again.
Cracker.
And the reason why, another one I don't think people pick it a lot, is because of, it's going to be on the knockout of the year column, Jorge Masvidal v. Darren Till is a fantastic fight. We only look at it as far as the knockout.
Maybe I've been guilty of that.
Darren Till knocks Jorge Masvidal down in the first exchange. Yeah. Masvidal laughs on the ground as he's put down, and then the two boys go hell for fucking leather.
Yeah, well,
until
maybe I've looked at it as well. Maybe I'm guilty of that. Yeah, maybe you are right.
Well, I felt like people are going to complain, but they're like, oh, it's a knockout. But I was like, Darren was in that fucking fight, man. He knocked Jorge Masvidal down straight away.
And he was like, it was that real sort of, you know.
In fact, I think he made a massive mistake by not chasing Jorge Masvidal to the ground after that first exchange.
Bang, he was thrown the left, and he could have really capitalised and taken advantage of that fight, and didn't. That's a good call, man. A really good call. So you get that sort of stuff when you're talking about.
There's lots of crossover, and once you put them in one column, you never think about them in the other. You know what I mean? So, knockout of the year. I know you don't agree with me, but I went for the popular choice. Masvidal v. Askren. Unbelievable. 5 seconds.
Yeah, and it was obviously unbelievable, but I have to go with Kevin Lee. And I think, again, I'm looking at this as sort of taking everything into context. And you had obviously what's happened with Kevin Lee this year and the last couple of years, losing his coach, obviously Robert Follis, and then, moving camps, reassessing everything. And to go in there against Gregor Lesby, he was favoured, I think, going into that fight, and put on such a cerebral.
It was a brilliant fight.
Clinical destruction. Yeah. Of a really, really high level guy, and the manner in which he did it, everything was selected in that fight. A cool, calm, different Kevin Lee. That head kick knockout was sensational. That's my knockout of the year.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I think there's other ones you could throw in. Oh, there
can
as
I tell you which one I thought you'd go for?
Yeah, go.
Anthony Pettis v. Stephen Thompson.
It was one of my five.
Yeah, yeah.
But it didn't go there, and I thought it was fantastic. Big upset as well, and Superman punch.
Brilliant.
Valentina Shevchenko.
That's my number three.
Against Jessica Eye. Boo.
I'll tell you one I'll never forget. I'll never fucking forget. It's the first time I ever compared a knockout to a volley in my life. And it's Diego Lima catching Michael Page on the half volley.
I didn't even think of that. But yes, but there you go again.
Because he's getting up off the ground and just whop. Just never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
Do you know, actually, it's a funny thing about that knockout, and it's something that Casey Lydon said to me. Casey's trained for years as I have, but not as much. I've never trained as much in the striking stuff as he does.
He trained in years.
I know. he trains a lot of striking.
Yeah.
And he said that's the one thing that Page has done that made him look really green was the way he got up from being knocked down by that leg kick. Because he got up with his chin in the air. And it's just like he said, that's from a point fighting style where you don't think you can be hit on the way up.
Yeah.
And that's why Lima was probably looking at him going, is he doing
serious?
This? Yeah. Oh. But I mean, I will say for Michael Page, and I make sure I say this to him when I interview him, people overlook what he did in the first round of that fight. He was down on the ground with Lima, a black belt in his guard, and he came completely safe. Like that's a huge thing.
100%.
I'd watch that rematch any day of the week, but they need to build MVP towards it properly.
Yes, and I think they will this year, and I think after that defeat this year, they will, and they'll have to.
It was good that he called for the title fight after that London fight when he fought the Italian guy nobody heard of, and they've put him in Japan now instead, you know what I mean?
Oh, definitely, yeah, and I think when you look at a guy like him and obviously the stock that comes around him, and as you said, like, how many fighters do fucking, they learn so much from getting their ass kicked? And I think he's one of those guys that will really hurt him. I think we did see that when we fought Richard Kiley. Like, obviously a big mismatch, in the end. And, fair play to Richard getting in there, selling the fight, and Michael also. But that's going to be a huge sort of learning curve for him, that Lima loss, where he's, man, make him hungrier. And the guy's going to be fucking go out there next week in Japan and, he's going to make a statement.
I expect him to.
But there was loads of, look, the knockouts, last year. Another one that we have to mention as well, Sage Northcutt getting, I know his
oh,
his
shit, I forgot all about that. Oh, my God.
To pieces by,
what was that deal with the Brazilian?
Cosmo, Alexandra. So,
Jesus.
That was an unbelievable.
Fuck, I forgot about that completely. That was nasty.
Sensational.
I vomited into my cornflakes watching that.
Exactly. And you had a couple other honourable mentions as well, Josh Emmett against Michael Johnson, that was a sensational knockout. Probably saved the fight again for himself in that one. And
that what was Pearson's knockout? He got Roland Thundered.
Oh, Jesus.
On Parabellum or whatever it's called, that MTK show.
Yeah.
Parabellum.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember the guy who knocked him out. But the one reason why I'm reluctant to put that there is when Ross retired, we were like, he shouldn't be, it's time to hang him up, we're all kind of happy. And then when you see that go in, it's like, this is, promoters shouldn't be putting on fights like this, That's just my own feeling. Submission of the year, we'll be talking about a bit.
Yeah, of course.
My first choice was Brent Primus against Tim Wild, Gogo Plant and Tim Wild. Okay. I thought that was exceptional. Like, I mean, a Gogo Plant.
Yeah,
I mean,
so rare.
The last time we saw, like, the one I remember most is Nick Diaz on Gomi in Japan all those years ago, and he got the decision overturned because he was smoking weed, which is pretty funny when you consider they put CB Dalloway in a fucking title fight. Like, but I think Primus is unbelievable, and then second I had Bryce Mitchell for the twister.
Bryce Mitchell number one. Had to.
A bit cumbersome for a twister if you ask me. Like, could have been a bit neater, but I mean, what you want?
Yeah, but listen, it's what to say.
I'll show him how to do it someday.
Of course he will. Second ever twister in UFC history, and I think Bryce was top of the list for me, and it was the first thing he actually I fucking wrote here today. There you go. Bryce Mitchell. it was just for a guy that young as well, and you know, making, you know, coming off the NAI contender series, going in there and making a big statement. The other ones
I picked are more to do with, it's not really the technique, it's more to do with the person they were submitting. So I have Moya v. Askren, because I think Askren's an unbelievable grappler. Yeah. Despite me not thinking he's a fantastic fighter, he's an unbelievable grappler. I would never dispute that.
I'd let you talk more about the grappling stuff, because
Dos Anjos, arm triangling Kevin Lee is unbelievable. Kevin Lee's an animal, like on the ground. He's fucking unbelievable. And for Dos Anjos to do that, I think people didn't give it enough credit at the time.
Yeah, people don't give Kevin Lee enough credit for his ground game. Definitely not.
And the bit of darts going on there, if you're wondering what the screen was going on. Final one, and I'm sure it's not going to be on anyone else's list, but I was blown away by it when it happened in Stockholm. Makwan Amerkani submitting Chris Fishgold. Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah. Anaconda choke, I believe it was. I rate Fishgold so highly on the ground. All them next gen lads, Paddy Pimblett,
dudes. Yeah, of course.
And I remember I talked to Sergey afterwards, who was Makwan's wrestling coach, and I was like, come on, even you know. And he's like, yeah, I can't believe it. It's unbelievable. You know? And,
deadly.
Yeah, so I went with them. I could probably, like, I mean, I feel like the submission one is the one I'm not happiest with in terms of, usually I'm very happy with, like, I've got the five best. I'd say there's a lot of shit that you could have picked from this year, to be fair.
There is. It's been a big year. And I trust you, though.
I don't trust myself, so
I
don't
trust you with that. No, but, I got, you know.
What, like, I mean, before we get on to talking about our Christmas, I just thought, I didn't even write it on down for this, but just thinking about, like, what Europeans are you excited to watch next year? I think,
Jesus,
speaking for ourselves, I mean, I know we talked about it last week at the UFC, but outside of the UFC, let's say, I think, speaking for both of us, I think Rhys McKee and Ian Garry in Ireland is a big deal, right? Joe McColgan, that whole story.
Yeah.
Paul Hughes, if he's in the mix.
Of course.
I think that's something, it's closed at home, but that is something that...
Irish, and I think, you know, after the year, man, we'd won one fighter fight in the UFC this year, Joe Duffy. Back in February, that's not good enough. You know, we should have more fighters in the UFC,
absolutely,
the world's premier mixed martial arts organization. And I think, you know, obviously with Bellator,
McKee's hot favorite to be next,
of course. Yeah. I mean, you know, as far as I'm concerned, he will be. But I think there could have been more guys. Obviously, Bellator is great to see them get paid here, come here. But we do want guys in the world's premier mixed martial arts organization, put eyes in the sport here, all that sort of scenario. But you look at these guys, you look at Gary, as you said, you look at Paul Hughes, such exciting young talents. But you have to think, Rhys McKee is on the cusp, Joe McColgan's probably not far behind him, one or two more wins, he's in there towards the end of the year. I think McKee, if he makes a big statement in his next fight, whatever it's going to be, he's probably there. So for Irish MMA, it's very, very exciting. And I think we'll have one guy, I think, definitely by sort of maybe June next year.
It might be too early. End of the year.
I don't want to put a time span on it. But
I think end of the year, because they have all these Irish shows. Cage Warriors aren't going to want to part ways with these guys just on a whim. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like I understand. I'd say June. Yeah, second part of next year.
Before we go on, because I want to talk about more guys, I forgot to mention that Brendan Loughnane's point. He was top of the list of people we're meant to talk about here.
Yeah.
But again, I fuck these things up every now and again, so what are you going to do?
Tradition,
he's fighting on the final PFL card of the year. And I feel like for Brendan, this one is the one that's going to launch his star, like, because next year he's going to be into the tournament fold. I think they're definitely very fond of him. You know, when you have a lad getting pictures taken with Mike Tyson after his debut and stuff, it'll do a lot.
As well.
Yeah, Tyson Fury calling him on the phone.
He thought it was Fury, all that debacle, it was hilarious.
But David Valente, I don't know a lot about, strong record at 11-4. I think the most important thing here is for Brendan to win. I don't think he needs to worry about finishing, just keep winning. That's all you need to do in a tournament style fights.
100% keep winning. You know, he's the eyes on him. We saw Dana White contender series where the UFC fucked up. That's one of the biggest regrets probably of the year for me, or one of the most disappointing moments of the year, if you want to talk about that. Brendan not signing for the UFC, but he's found his journey with PFL. He's going to be a big star. When you've names like, you know, Marcus Rashford as well, Jesse Lingard, two Manchester United soccer players, fucking posting Instagram posts about him, you know, you're halfway there, son. So Brendan is a big star. He's going to do big things in 2020. And I'm delighted for Brendan.
And he's making me tune into PFL, really, so God love him.
Yeah, well, there you go. I'm exactly the same. We'll watch them live on Facebook, so.
Just back to the European fighters to watch. I'm massively interested in Jack Cartwright next year, because I didn't actually get to watch that card live when he debuted, and they're coming to Manchester. That's a massive spot. I feel like...
Have they announced what they're doing with him yet, though?
Not just yet, but I mean the fight is until March.
Yeah. But coming in as he was a first reserve coming into that show.
Unbelievable.
On a Cage Warriors Unplugged, that came in and sparked everyone.
I thought it was funny. Like, Jack showed up. Jack got signed, obviously, I think around the same time as he won the belt.
Yeah.
Or as he had debuted, but he came on the show. And he was like, fuck me, I didn't think that was going to happen, you know what I mean?
It was unbelievable. Yeah, his quality. It really was.
Also, Pedro Carvalho in that featherweight tournament. And Adam Borics.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I know AJ's, you know, people are going to favour him.
I wouldn't rule out them either.
No, but Pedro's looked so good, man. He's looked unbelievable.
Yeah.
Will 2020 be the year that Paddy Pimblett signs for the UFC?
No.
Do you not think so,
No.
Man?
I just haven't seen enough from Paddy, I don't think.
He hasn't fought in a long time.
Yeah, and you know, I just think there hasn't been enough.
But I'll tell you what could happen, and this is what I think could happen.
Evolution in his game.
Joey Herbert goes to the UFC. Donovan Des, maybe Paddy Pimblett becomes a lightweight title fight. If he wins that, he doesn't even need to go to the UFC straight away, even though they might be interested, because they're definitely going to be interested with a guy who draws that much.
Yeah, well, I think that.
But if that doesn't happen, you're going to have Mason Jones versus Paddy Pimblett for the lightweight title in Cage Warriors. That would be fucking wild.
Yeah, it would. Is Desme and is that not confirmed, or is there being?
Well, Joey Herbert still has a title, but they're like, it's all the hinges on whether Joey's going to go.
Well, I think Joey is gone. I'd agree with you with that.
So I hope he's gone.
Be surprised, he should be gone.
But if we haven't heard about it, why, you know?
Yeah. So no, it is. It's interesting, but I'm just not sure. You know, I want to see more from.
Oh, cause you want to see him fight? Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But if everything goes well against Donovan Desme, he has a signature performance. I would not rule that out. If you think about the stock he has going into the UFC, more so than your average punter going in.
Yeah, of course.
Even though Joey's looked way more impressive than Paddy of late, like because he's been fighting, he's won the belt, he's looked fantastic in doing so. Paddy still has that factor that this guy sells out arenas by himself.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. No, I agree on that front, the marketing front, but you know, in terms of getting in the cage.
Oh, he needs to do it. He needs to do it. Absolutely.
Yeah, he needs to do more, but. Yeah, listen, Joy should be there already. I think we both agree on that.
Will Leon Edwards fight for a UFC title next year?
Yeah.
I think he will, won't he?
Yeah, he's fucking pissing everyone off.
This has been one of the main themes of Eurobash for the year, so we have to talk about
it. He'll never do it, Petey. That's what the UFC has said to him. Fuck the UFC, because they always do this.
We've had a few now, lads.
They always do it with fighters, right? They write them off. Tony Ferguson did it for so long. Look what Tony's doing now.
Never heard of him.
Who's Tony Ferguson? No one knows who he is, right? I'm telling you, mate, this guy, he just has that thing about him. He's like a fly on shit. He's just going to keep going back. The title is there. Bang, bang, bang. He's knocking on the door, and he'll get a shot. The UFC played it wrong this year with Leon Edwards, big time, after that.
It's hard to say he did, because he hasn't disappeared, because he keeps winning.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but he is part of that conversation with Masvidal, and why Masvidal blew up to where he was as well. Like, there was an opportunity there for them after that fight. What happens, obviously, you know, backstage, you know, in London, and that was a massive missed opportunity. I think we talked about it for so long. But the major thing and what he is doing is, look what he did. Look what he did this year. The two fights that he had this year, look what he did.
Brilliant.
Unbelievable. RDA.
And Gunny.
And Gunny. There you go. You know, give the guy his just desserts, and he'll get it this year. I really do think he will get a title shot.
I agree. I think it is going to happen. I think Hermanson v. Till is going to happen in London too.
Like you call it, buddy.
And that could be a huge card. I'm getting that sinking feeling when I see Nathaniel being matched elsewhere. And even though, we get the fight or whatever, Nathaniel should be the guy. They should be giving him a feature bout or something on the London cards, synonymous with London. I'm not too. I understand, but if they let it go around again and he isn't on the London card next year, it's a piss take. It's a piss take.
Yeah, yeah. It depends what he does this year. Obviously, you know, if he kicks on, goes over there and wins that fight against Dodson, which is, you know, former title challenger.
Does he do it?
I don't know. I think Dodson's pace is just insane, and it's very, very hard to control.
They said the same when he fought Peter Yan.
Exactly. So, who fucking knows?
They just need to realise that Europe have the best now. That's what
I think
this means.
Yeah, but maybe that's been one of these years where I think everything is coming together for Europe, and it's.
Do you know what the difference is?
It's a bunch of contenders coming.
They never had a Eurobash before. And now we're setting up the table for them, saying go for it, lads.
My Guinness is running low here, right?
So
what I'm saying to you is, right, I think this year has been a year, maybe not full of titles like it was a couple of years ago with Joanna, Connor, all that. It's been a year where we've been building fighters, and fighters are coming to the forefront. Peter Yan, fucking Nathaniel Wood, you know, Joanna Jędrzejczyk getting a title shot again. Connor's coming back, apparently. They're the guys obviously leading the way, but we've other fighters here, Leon Edwards, people like that, who are literally right on the fucking door of a title shot.
Till could have a huge year as well.
Till could have a huge year.
Till or Hermanson, either way that goes, that's huge.
It's unbelievable. Rakic, Ozdemir again, back in the mix.
Cyril Gane.
There you go, Francis Ngannou.
From Cameroon.
He's Irish. that's what I'm saying to you, man. It's one of these years where we've just had to maybe sort of build for a little bit of the year, and now we're going to fucking pounce. And I guarantee you, Europe's going to be in a better place this time next year, and we're chatting on the south side of Dublin next year about talking about potential UFC contenders from Europe. It's fucking exciting, man, and I can't wait for next year.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So what has your Christmas festivities been like? I've been trying to fit in nights out in between shifts, and it's not recommended, I'll tell you that much. I went out, me and Elaine had a Christmas party on Friday night. We went to the south side.
Oh.
Went to Ranelagh.
Hey, what? You went to Ranelagh and you didn't ring your boy?
Well, I had to bring her to the Stella, down the cinema.
That's some fucking rat minds, it's dope.
Yeah, I was in Ranelagh first. I was in the Butcher Grill, some restaurant.
You went to the Butcher?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the most exclusive restaurant in Dublin.
Well, you know, they rang me and they were like, Petey, we'd love you to come. Jesus, I was like, Christ. No problem, guys. I'll sign a few steaks for you, whatever you need. And they came in.
I got my man, Dave Houcher, for there today.
Tell them I said it's very good.
It's amazing, yeah, I've been there.
Went in.
Didn't so, they let peasants in?
Oh, well, you know, they let you in to buy the vouchers, didn't they?
Boarded them online.
But, yeah, it was fantastic. We went there. We went to a place called the Tap House. Load of Southsiders talking that's absolute sack to each other. Yeah. It was packed.
Yeah, it's always busy.
Mad. It's two floors and every seat taken.
I don't like it.
Doesn't like you either. And then we went to the Stella and it was fantastic.
Why are you so hostile towards me? I'm just talking about points here. I'm trying to advise you.
Listen, Tap House for me.
It sucks.
Fantastic.
Nah, the points are shite. Smith's and Ranelagh. Good point again, sir. Birchall's.
Saw a few OAPs going in there, right. But it's a great neck of the woods, I have to say.
The Butcher Grill is
no, just Ranelagh in general.
Yeah,
it's really nice.
Good spot. That's where I went to school, Pizza.
If I was ever going to go and make my move to the south side, the Butcher Grill have told me, like, look,
honestly,
you can move in here for
Butcher
a while.
Butcher Grill is unreal, isn't it?
Oh, it was savage. Only thing that really pissed me off was I had my eye on this Côte de Bœuf you could go halves with.
I got one of them in Adderall.
Can I just tell you?
Two of them.
Yeah. 70 quid for two people. I was like, grand, we'll get a couple of starters, get that grand. None of them left. Ari, what's the next sharing steak? Chateaubriand. How much is that, love? 120 quid. Yeah. And now I look like a prick, so you have to get it from me.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
It was good, though.
It was fantastic.
I don't mind paying for food. It's one thing I don't mind paying for.
I also went out and had a session with Owen Colgan and Co there during the week in this neck of the woods in Stony Batter, which was fantastic. And then that's pretty much it. That's the only sessions I've had. And then
I had a few on Friday, that's it. I'm not joking.
Yeah. I don't really have anything planned for the Christmas either. Yeah, I have no plans for tomorrow, Christmas Eve.
I got roped into a load of stuff I don't even want to fucking do. Last minute, as per usual.
I do a run around every Christmas. I just think we're getting old, man. I think we have to stop thinking that this is a big celebration of us. It's for the babies, isn't it?
Fuck the babies. Don't have them if you don't want them. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've all these lads moaning about
controversial
having kids.
Line.
No, it's not a controversial line. I'm talking about all the lads who go, oh, you know, I can't go out. Oh, you're lucky to go out. No, mate, listen. If you don't want to go out, don't have so many fucking kids. That's the problem, like. That's it.
But sure, my dad used to let us fend for ourselves since we're five. Like, I mean, just leave you there with a bit of raw meat. Come back in a few hours, you're grand. Like, you know what I mean?
Sure, listen,
leave a knife under the fucking table in case anyone breaks in, and you're grand.
Sure.
I turned out all right, didn't I?
No, not at all.
So,
good crack.
I'm looking forward to me dinner. That's
fuck
all I'm
off,
looking forward
man,
to.
Man, to be honest,
I just want me ma's dinner. That's all I want. And then.
It's been quiet. It's been a quiet one, I have to say. It's been very quiet. And honest,
what do you get in terms of gargle when you're at Christmas?
I used to get a lot more when I was younger.
What
maybe
did you
you're
get
right
this
right
year?
I got nothing in yet.
Ah, here we go.
A few Guinness will come tomorrow, but I'd probably, like, Christmas Day, man. I'd go out tomorrow night now and have a fair few. And I'd probably be, sometimes I'd be a little bit too hungover on Christmas Day to really enjoy it. But
see, I used to do that. I used to go on Christmas
Eve to my local,
and it was like, and it was just, last couple of years he went, it was like, I felt like everyone was in junior infants running around the place.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm just not doing this again.
No, I agree. I definitely agree with that.
Like, I mean, after you knock out 15 teenagers in a row on a night out, you start to feel bad about it, you know what I mean?
I'm sure
you wake up on Christmas Day, your hand's a bit bruised, you're like, I shouldn't have hit that 5-year-old.
Would you be...
He shouldn't have been drinking, though.
Would you feel bad about it? Nah, look, you're cold.
Look, my hands sometimes get sore.
You're as cold as my fucking Guinness that is gone.
It's now empty. Yeah, I'm not even messing with you. Noel's perfectly happy to talk away here until that point's been empty, and now he's just frantically staring at it as I'm talking.
Yeah, no, I want to smash it over your head at this point. I'm getting angry. Listen, we're going to get the fuck out of here. Happy Christmas.
What do you hope you get off the MMA gods for Christmas? I'm not finished this yet.
Oh my goodness.
What do you hope, if you could get something off MMA Santa for New Year, what would it be?
Jesus, I don't know. That's a tough question, mate. Like what, in terms of fights or something like that? Or
anything you want.
To make €1 million.
Not next year from fight related. Yeah.
All right, no, grand. That's not going to happen. I don't know, man. There's a lot of things I want to see. I want to see, you know, maybe regulation probably in the sport in Ireland would be a massive thing for me.
Oh, good show. Political.
You know, I think a lot of the guys here have, you know, worked so hard for it, and the fighters deserve it. And I think, you know, and if you look at the sport, it doesn't get a lot of the mainstream coverage it should get because of the public interest. You know, as far as I've been aware of what I've been taught in college and what you've been taught in college, that something should be consumed on the public interest, and mixed martial arts is very much in the public interest, whether people want to deny it or not. And I think to get the sport recognised would be a massive thing for me here in Ireland, definitely.
Yeah, I've asked you that question, and I don't really have an answer for it myself, which is disappointing. So I'm just going to go with, just give me a few title fights. We already have Joanna, give me Leon, and then give me a middleweight title fight for either Taylor or Hermanson, depending on who wins that fight, I'd say. I'm happy enough with that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Peter Yan?
Peter Yan, yeah, he'll do as well.
Do you think he'll get
a beast?
Is there other narratives that get in front of him?
Yeah, probably. Like, I mean, you look at the title there, Cejudo, he's asking for Aldo. I mean, that's a nightmare. And Dana White's going, I like the sound of that, like a dickhead. So I mean, it's like,
yeah, Dana's a plonker.
You know, I think if we get three title fights for Europe next year,
I think we will.
That would be me a very happy man.
Do you think Conor McGregor will get a title just from an Irish?
Oh man, if he farts near a champion, he'll get a title fight. So. Yeah, he probably will. But outside of that, three title fights I'd like to see.
Joanna coming up as well, so that's one.
Fingers crossed. So happy Christmas, Niall.
Happy
I love
Christmas,
you very much.
Man. Have a good one.
Hope you get home safe tonight. If you don't,
Pete's got
my hands are not covered in blood.
Basically, I just looked outside there having a smoke a few minutes ago. Don't smoke, kids. And
stop cigarettes. Don't worry.
The four corners of the pub are all surrounded by dodgy looking.
Just throwing up gang signs on your way out and you'll be grand.
Right, if anything happens to me, please
just throw up the end, baby.
Please
Northside.
Hit me up on Instagram tomorrow and see if I'm alright, because I don't think so.
I hope you get a beat.
Fuck you.
Thanks very much for a great year, Noel. We have moved the podcast onto a new platform.
Legend.
You people have made us very happy hosts of a podcast, and we appreciate the thousands of you that listen every week. Can't believe so many of you do. But you know, that's your cross to bear. Ours is recording it, so we love yous loads. See yous in 2020. We won't be back next week, but we'll be back the week after.
Fuck the north side.
Fuck the south side, up the north side. Thank you very much. Niall covered his mouth and looked away as he said that, just to let us know. We love yous loads. Happy Christmas.